Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
I don't know how to put this.
Where all the animals flock for information.
I'm kind of a big deal.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
I got a fever.
Now a man who really does talk to the animals.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Even if they have no idea what he is saying.
I gotta have more cowbell.
100% natural nutrition for your brain. Results may vary.
Say hello to my little friend.
Here's Steve Dale.
That news was brought to you by Chicago Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Services, broadcasting here on Michigan Avenue from the Allstate Showcase Studio, not from an elevator. I'll tell you, that was the craziest thing. I had lunch with Jim Bohannon, Hall of Fame broadcaster. I used to work with him down the street, and Jim mentioned to me I was in all these radio publications. I didn't even know it. We're talking about the fact that I broadcast last week's show while I was stuck in an elevator. That is not the case this week, happily. But what got me, I'll be on this afternoon with Paul Listink after 2 o'clock. And what surprised me were the number of, some of you are very cynical, people who said, this is all a radio bit. This really didn't happen. And then I began to get the email saying that was not the case, I can assure you. I'll talk about that, as I say, more with Paul Listnick after 2 o'clock this afternoon. Lots to talk about today, including what's going on at the airports all over the country concerning our companion animals. And as we lead into 7 o'clock and Rick Pearson does his Sunday spin talking about politics, I do have something I want to talk about. I will chime in close to 7 o'clock all about that. We are all about your friends, your best friends with four legs. Steve Dale's Pet World at 720 WGN, broadcasting from the Allstate Showcase Studio. But it isn't only veterinary medicine. And by the way, our telephone number, 312-981-7200, if you have any questions. And you might, specifically about Lyme disease. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we're also going to talk about the intersection between human health and animal health. It's been called all sorts of things, comparative medicine, One Health. And we have a very special guest on the telephone from the Animal Medical Center in New York City, Dr. Richard Goldstein. Hello, Dr. Goldstein. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me so early in the morning, though not quite as early in the Big Apple. And as you know, I was just there for an event called, a conference really, called Zubiquity. There's a book called Zubiquity as well. This is named for the book. It was the third conference. The other two have been in L.A. And it's all about this. It's all about where the health for our pets really does significantly correlate with our own health. And one example of this, there are many examples of this, cancer. We'll talk about Lyme disease. What sort of sparked your interest in all this, you being a veterinarian? And I mean, there were about 400 people there, I believe, and it was veterinarians, leading veterinarians like yourself with all sorts of letters after your names, with leading human physicians with all sorts of letters after their names, sharing information. So what when you first, it was brought to you, or maybe you knew about the book Zubiquity, I don't know, you'll tell me, but what made you first say, you know what, this is an amazing thing?
Yeah, it really is. First of all, let me say I'm sorry for your elevator experience. It sounds pretty bad.
It was interesting.
I'm glad things are better today.
I'm out.
The Big Lady is a book that was written by an ND, my name is Barbara Netterson, who is a cardiologist at UCLA, and she wrote the book after kind of realizing that there are so many similarities between veterinary medicine and human medicine, and that those similarities, learning about those similarities, and actually also learning about the differences, can benefit both species. And this conference, Ubiquity, was held twice at UCLA in the last few years, and then I went there last year and was very impressed and offered to host it this year in New York City along with Barbara and UCLA. So that's where it came from. That's how it got to New York City. I think that we in the Animal Medical Center, as well as the other community of veterinarians in New York City, are very lucky to have such a large human medicine population of leading physicians right near us, actually on the same block as us. So it seemed like a natural thing to do to host a conference in New York City.
All right. Well, I want to talk about a specific example or two of this. Our telephone number again, 312-981-7200, or you could text us 24-720. And to me, one example, though there are many, and we'll talk about as many as time allows for, is Lyme disease. So dogs get Lyme disease. People get Lyme disease. First off, Lyme disease is from ticks, and people may think two things that I want to ask you about. It is, I don't know about New York City, but it is dropping in Chicago. I'm talking about the temperature. Today it'll be 40-something, low 40s. And by early in the week, we're supposed to have snow. I said it. But not a lot, just a little bit. Not even enough to need that shovel thing, but a little bit. So are ticks, when it gets this cold out, still a concern for us and for our dogs, and therefore is Lyme disease still a concern?
Yeah, you know, ticks survive the winters. They don't die. They kind of hunker down underneath the snow if there is a snow layer. So it's unlikely that a dog is actually going to get infected by a deer tick when there's, you know, 3 feet of snow on the ground, although that doesn't happen that often anymore.
But how about right now? How about right now, Dr. Goldstein?
Yeah, but right now, right now for sure, ticks are still active. And the other thing is the clinical signs of Lyme take a couple months after infection. So you might have a dog getting sick with Lyme disease in January that was actually infected in September, October, which is the peak of the tick season. So we do see clinical signs year-round. And, you know, the shorter the winters, the shorter this maybe brief grace period where there's less ticks. But other ticks, like the brown dog tick, can actually live indoors. It lives in kennels. It lives in the house. So there's other diseases that tick can transmit in addition to Lyme. So it is a year-round phenomenon. We need to deal with it year-round. And what I tell my owners is it's a daily struggle in areas with Lyme disease. And you know, and Chicago, Illinois is coming into that realm of an endemic area now. It's a struggle that we'll have to deal with every day of your dog's life to try to keep them negative, try to keep them clean from Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases.
In fact, I have a text here from 847. So 847 is somewhere in the nearby suburbs, so may not be downtown. I don't know where it is. But this text reads, my dog recently was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and we've never left our community with the dog. So that's perfect, because I was going to ask, actually. So thank you for beating me to it, 847, that this question, do you really have to go out into the woods anymore to get Lyme disease? Can you not only even live in the suburbs of Chicago, for example, but also maybe even downtown?
Yeah, you don't. All you need is kind of your tall grass or any kind of shrubbery where the ticks like to molt and hide. And so it does not have to be the woods. It can be anywhere. You know, you're probably not going to get it on a putting green, but anything more grown in than that is a place where ticks would love to be. And so any kind of grass in someone's yard or shrubs or trees is a prime place. And Illinois and even Chicago is now Lyme country. So it's not like it used to be that it was just a Michigan thing in the Northeast or a Wisconsin thing. It's definitely all over Illinois as well.
So talk to your veterinarian about that, and maybe talk to your human physician. So here's what I want to talk about next, and that is what we can do to prevent Lyme disease for our dogs, or maybe for ourselves. And there is that intersection there that we talked about, and in this case, maybe even our dogs have the edge. All of that, your telephone calls, 312-981-7200, your text, 24720. Right here at 720 WGN. We are live. We are local in the studio. No elevator for me at WGN. In animal news, the question for you, can it really rain? What was that? A question for you, can it really rain cats and dogs? Yes, we are live, aren't we? At least maybe you can if you happen to be at the Miami airport. There you are at the airport. You're in Terminal J. You hear coming from the ceiling. You look up and kittens fall from the ceiling. That is indeed what happened just last week at the Miami airport. No one to this day knows how the kittens got into the ceiling. The good news is that they were in decent condition. They were brought to an animal shelter by firefighters, and they are being adopted out as we speak. Then we move to O'Hare Airport, where going down an escalator, a maintenance worker made a discovery. An alligator. Called the police. An alligator, you heard me right. Police officers said, well, the gator's just about a foot and a half. We can handle this. They did. Chicago Herpetological Society was brought in, and they're caring for the gator. And the sad part about that is, I mean, what was a gator, an alligator, doing at the airport? I mean, apparently someone thought, well, I'm going to take an alligator to wherever they were going, and then thought twice about it because, you know, it's hard to get through security with an alligator, and just let the thing go, and that's really sad, you know? And it wasn't in great condition, so hopefully the alligator will be okay. But you know what they say about celebrity deaths? They come in threes, and apparently so do strange airport stories. In Nairobi, Kenya, a man attempted to go through security with a snake belt. And I mean a real snake around his waist. How did security know about the snake? Well, apparently as the gentleman was going through security, the snake slithered into the man's nether regions. The man went, ah! And security looked and they found something sticking out. You get the idea, don't you? Turns out there was a snake in his pants. Just like that. And he wasn't allowed through security. Yes, Dr. Richard Goldstein will never admit that he's been on this radio show after hearing all that. He is with the Animal Medical Center in New York City. Dr. Goldstein, you are there?
I am here, yes, enjoying the snake stories.
And we are talking about, among other things, what's called zubiquity. That is where animal medicine and human medicine meet. We were talking about Lyme disease. And Lisa, you are on WGN. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Steve. Good morning, Dr. Goldstein.
What is your question?
Good morning.
Well, I don't have a question. I have several comments because All I do for my dog rescue is test and treat for tick-borne disease in the dogs and the cats. And the inconsistencies we're seeing in the 4DX SNAP test, the Lyme quant, compared to IFA testing is just amazing. Because a lot of these pets are coming in from the south. And there's several strains of Lyme disease and Ehrlichia that will not show up on the SNAP test, that will only show up on IFA serology. I'm sorry, I'm getting technical here. But I'm just curious if Dr. Goldstein has seen anything similar.
So first, Dr. Goldstein, before you answer specifically, if you could translate the sciences of what she just said.
Yeah, the question was, and it's a good question, it's regarding testing for tick-borne diseases. And it's true, it may not be different strains of Lyme disease because we really don't have that in North America, but there are multiple tick-borne diseases that we have to test for. And so we do recommend that veterinarians do a wide array of testing, and there's multiple platforms to do that on because it's true, there are multiple different diseases that can cause similar clinical signs of lameness and pain and fever. And so if it's not Lyme, it could still be a tick-borne disease, and so we do recommend testing broadly for those diseases. So I think it's a good comment.
All right. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Can I say one other thing?
Very quickly.
I pulled two engorged deer ticks off my cats. I live in suburbia, 20 minutes west of O'Hare. I've already got a cat positive for Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Yikes.
And there isn't enough information out there about infections in cats.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's just as common for dogs.
Yeah. Dr. Goldstein?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Also, a wonderful comment. You know, we think we see less tick-borne diseases in cats, but we probably don't look as low as we should. And there are wonderful tests now that can be run for cats. So it's definitely it's an emerging disease in cats for sure, and we do need to pay more attention to it. So it's a wonderful comment.
Yeah, it is. And part of what you talked about at this conference was people can get Lyme disease, obviously, and dogs can too, and show clinical signs and get really, really sick. People can get really, 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 really sick. Cats can get Lyme disease, but don't get sick. And if we could figure out what cats are doing, what the heck they're up to, it might help people and dogs.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And back to the conference, you know, what we've known for a long time as veterinarians is that we try to emulate human medicine in some areas because there's more research, there's more money, and so we try to learn from human medicine. What the new development with zubiquity is that I think it's starting to shift and being going the other way, that the physicians are looking at veterinary medicine and saying, you know, you are now at the point, you have evolved and are good enough now for us actually to learn from you as well. And so that's the kind of the enlightening and wonderful thing. And And that was highlighted in my conversation with a physician who works on Lyme disease in people from Columbia University. And we basically were learning there from each other. And back to your comment from before, there are things in dogs that are probably that do make dogs better off now in terms of the prevention for Lyme disease. And the similarities between veterinary and human medicine are fascinating. We're learning from that. But also, as you mentioned, from the differences, you know, why do dogs have different manifestations of Lyme? What, one of the things that came up in the conference is, why do dogs not get coronary heart disease?
Mm-hmm.
You know, dogs eat people. Dogs need people food. They can have a sedentary life. They can be obese. Those are all problems in themselves. But then they don't have heart attacks. You know, why are dogs protected in their vasculature from having heart attacks and people aren't? And so the similarities between veterinary medicine and the differences were all highlighted at that conference. And Lyme disease, as you said, and cats is a good example.
No, it was incredibly fascinating. And the good news is that we can, and we only have less than a minute here, but we could do more to protect our dogs, going back to Lyme, from Lyme and other tick diseases, for that matter, than we can ourselves, which is something you talked about.
Yeah, as I did. I said I feel lucky to be a veterinarian because we do have tools that people don't have for people. We have really good prevention, and prevention is the key to this disease, and that includes removing ticks every day, tick control, and there are multiple very good tick control and products out there on the market. And then vaccination. We have the liberty of vaccinating dogs and providing close to 100% protection from this disease. I think there's going to be vaccines out in the future for people as well, but at the moment, you know, if you're a dog in Chicago or a person in Chicago, you're lucky to be a dog because your exposure to Lyme disease can be less if you go to the veterinarian and you get a good prevention package.
You heard it from the man who knows. You're lucky to be a dog. Learn more at dogsandticks.com. Dr. Goldstein, thank you so much.